Got it. Here we go. Tom on vacation, as he is and wants to be on Friday. Sherry sitting in or standing in or leaning in, either way. Appreciate you being here, Sherry. Thank you. You know, this is a very big day. If Tom were here, he would normally be fighting me tooth and nail on this one. But I'm telling you right now, without Tom, when the cat's away, the mice will play with Milton Friedman's birthday. Jacob, what year and what date was Milton Friedman born?
The day was July 31st, yes. And the year was 1912.
How tall was he? That's irrelevant.
I know that one.
Okay, you want that one? Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
He was all of 5 feet tall.
Bang. There we go. This is a big day. I love Milton Friedman. In fact, I love Milton Friedman so much, I have told Tom that I would get a Milton Friedman tattoo on my back, my upper right back. But I was concerned. I talked to my agent on this, as it could hurt my international porn business, especially in Germany. So I said, no, you know, I'm hold back just a little bit longer for international sort of, you know, royalty stuff. But this does not stop us from being able to talk about Milton Friedman, the smartest, best economist in the world. And anytime you hear somebody use the expression, what's your favorite one, Sherry?
Oh, my favorite Milton Friedman quote?
Yes.
The government solution to a problem is usually as bad as the problem.
There, or there is no such thing as a free lunch. In my house, I used to have a giant, and I mean giant, 84 by 96 framed photo of Milton Friedman. And Jacob has a picture of it. He'll put it up as well. I just share just some things. This is the sort of the bedrock of my philosophy. When I argue with Tom, I'm normally stealing stuff from this little teeny, tiny genius.
When you see around the globe the
Phil Donahue with a giant mop of hair,
maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries.
Doesn't this sound like Tom? Doesn't this sound like Tom? Here we go.
When you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism? And whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as...
I'm telling you, I swear to God, Tom has watched Phil Donahue, because this would be the conversation that he would have with Milton Friedman. But it seems to reward...
its ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest?
Did you get that one?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant!
You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us.
Seattle City Council.
Well, I don't even trust you to do that.
Bang! The greatest thing about him was which I wish I was able to do this, he always had a smile on his face. It was like he would lay it out there. He never got angry. Just, you know, being 5 feet, he really probably couldn't do much, you know, throwing punches. And although never underestimate the kick to the groin. He did. This is the amazing thing. This is the different time where you would have an economist on Phil Donahue for two whole days. And then PBS did, I think, like a one-week series or an entire week series, free to choose. I mean, this was amazing to have an economist get on there and talk about inflation and then people taking questions and asking. He was a true libertarian capitalist and believed in complete freedom for people. He said, you know, it wasn't perfect. Capitalism was never perfect, but it's at least it gives us an opportunity to experience some freedom.
Why is it we have so many...
This woman's voice reminds me a lot of you. I thought when I heard this, I thought, is this Sherry's mom?
Millionaires and everything in the United States. Why is it we have so many millionaires and everything in the United States, and we still have so many impoverished people who try to get up into the world?
It's amazing because I think this was 1978 or something like that. Have we not heard people still ask these questions about
sure.
Jeff Bezos? Jeff Bezos going into outer space.
Why is it we have this lack of money where people who can't support themselves decently and get a decent job, where all these big men are up on top making oodles and oodles of money? They don't need it. They can only eat that much, eat in a sleep in a bed.
And what are you supposed to do? If they don't eat it and don't use it, what are you supposed to do?
They hoard it.
They hoard it.
Millionaires.
Hoarding. Because I can't eat it all.
No.
And what do you mean they hoard it? You mean they put it under their pillows?
That's right. No. They keep investing it.
Investing it in
what? That's right. Yeah.
What are they invested in?
Well, in oil and everything, where, I mean, all these other people who are
What are they invested in? Don't get off the subject.
No.
What are they invested in?
This is the easiest argument to make when you run into somebody that wants more government. And take the money from Jeff Bezos. He doesn't pay his fair share. Bernie Sanders. Listen to this. This is so simple. It is so, it's almost insulting.
Invested in?
Well, he invested in a lot of different things that the little people need.
Well, do they invest in factories?
Yes.
Does some of that money end up in machines?
Yes.
Do those factories and machines provide ordinary working people with jobs or not? What do you suppose the productivity of this country would be and of the wage rate would be if the total amount of capital in this...
The problem is she doesn't know what capital is. Capital is available money to be invested.
This country today was what it was 100 years ago. Where do you suppose the improvements in productivity come from except from the investment by people of their savings? But let me go to your fundamental question. First place, nirvana is not for this world. There is no paradise. Of course we've got a lot of people who are poorly off. But if you look at it over time, if you get a sense of proportion, the well-being of the ordinary people has been the main thing that has been improved by economic progress and economic growth and development. And most residual hard cases of poverty today are the result, again, of a failure of government.
Boom.
Why do we have a black teenage unemployment rate in 30-40%? Because of two failures of government. One, a failure to provide decent schooling, which is a governmental responsibility, has been, whether it should be or not, it has been. And second, because of a minimum wage rate, which prevents those kids who haven't had decent schooling from getting jobs at low pay at which they can earn the skills on the jobs that would enable them to rise to higher pay. If you look at the sources of poverty, you will find a very most of them are derived from what I regard as wrong-headed government policies.
All right. It's great that I was able to do this since Tom wasn't here. This is perfect. The stars aligned. Milton Friedman's birthday tomorrow. I was going to have Jacob come in. We're going to do 8 hours straight, uninterrupted, no commercials, all Milton Friedman. But normally Tom would let me have normally one cut. I would get the first cut, and then he'd want to do something else. But his book, Free to Choose, it's just brilliant, brilliant. So in the simplicity of just understanding, you can't have equality and liberty. If everybody's equal, you won't have a lot of liberty. Now, listen, when you have a lot of liberty, you will have some people that are suffering, but realize in a system like that, it allows people to move up, to believe that everybody is stuck exactly where they are. Born in India, you're stuck in a class and caste, and you can't move up or move down. Or the same thing in the UK, where you are really sort of, that's where you're born, that's where you'll be. But if you, the great part about capitalism is it explains that people move up and they move down within two generations or one generation. You can lose the wealth or make wealth. So anyway, happy birthday to Milton Friedman. He's up there in heaven with Rose. And I am so on the fence for the Milton Friedman tattoo. I am right on the edge. I don't know what I need to push myself over. Maybe $100 from Joe Biden to just get the incentive to be able to get the tattoo.
Well, maybe you could get it
Well, I don't know.
I already have one on my rear end, and I'm not happy with that one.
You didn't like that one?
I didn't like it. I got it, and then I went to the Virginia Mason, and they were zapping it with the laser. And then she said, you need about 7 more treatments. Each treatment is like $300. So I went in about 4 times, and it faded. It was bub, B-U-B. It's a Jewish word, means loved one. So it said like bub or bubala. And when she hit it with the zapper like 4 times, it closed the U into an O. So I have a heart with a yellow banner going over that says Bob.
Bob.
Raises a lot of unnecessary questions.
Right. By the way, he was a big proponent of gay rights.
Yes, he was. Plus, he also fought to stop the draft.
He'd like the legalization of drugs. He thought that was a good thing. And prostitution, don't you know?
Yes, of course. He's a libertarian. He understands that you want to be able to get the crime out of it, you legalize it. He also was in favor of an earned income tax credit, but they said the first thing you have to do is secure your borders. Anyway, God bless him. I highly recommend you read, watch Milton Friedman. You find him online and enjoy the size of Phil Donahue's head and his hair. That's the one. My dad was on that show on Phil Donahue.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He sat in the front row, and it was Mayor Koch. And my dad was like, I got to get on there. And I was like, Dad, don't ask a question. And my dad didn't have a question because the guy just before my father asked my dad's question. And my dad went, he took my question. And I was like, oh, good. Then just pass when he comes to you. Well, before in the commercial break, they were like, okay, who's got a question for Phil? Who's got a question for the mayor, for Mayor Koch? Who's got a question? My dad raised, I do. I got one down front. And the guy's like, okay, we're going to, Bernie. Bernie's the director. Bernie, we're going to go here. We'll go to the guy in the blazer, your shirt right here with the silver hair. We're going back to the lady back there. So we're going to spin that way. Everybody okay with that? Okay, coming out. 5, 4, 3. So they go to the first guy who asked the question. And dad goes, oh, that guy stole my question. I was like, oh, well, let's just tell him he asked your question. No way. They're coming at me. And all of a sudden, he came in. My dad had no question ready. So, so Mayor, you know, you're sitting there. I'm like, oh, my God. I hope they're on a one-shot. Because at this point, I am a teenager. I'm embarrassed enough just being a teenager. And then here's my father. So you're sitting there. You know, you got the job, right? All right, you're there. And, you're like, and I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm like, my father is treading water with bricks on his feet. He's got to come up with a question. It went on and on and on, and Phil Donahue goes, I'm sorry, what are you trying to say? And my father just went, hey, will ya? And that was the question. Hey, will ya?
Hey, will ya?
Hey.
Hey, will ya?
Hey, will ya?
What does that even mean?
Who knows? Who knows? Phil? I just wanted to move on. You know, Phil's always like, hey, I'm a divorced woman. I got myself I'm in a station wagon. I'm driving down the road, and I'm trying to smoke cigarettes. Like, that's Phil Donahue. He's always running around doing, right. Hey, where am I supposed to live? I'm divorced. Yeah, and my dad hit him with, hey, will ya? Or, hey, would ya? Hey, will ya? Yeah, that was it. And that became the one we're always like, we'd always pull that back on my father later on. Yeah, that's the Mayor Koch. I think will they ya? Cut him out of the show. I swear to God. The worst experiences. All right. Let's see. Oh, by the way, the fact that the Washington State, do we have time for this one? We have a lot of sound from, no, we don't. Let's just take the fact that Scarlett Johansson is going to sue Disney. She doesn't like, it seems like they changed the contract on her. She comes out with this movie, Black Widow, and they then move it to a streaming service as opposed to in typical theaters. And is she losing cash along the way?
Yeah, well, what they did was they released it on Disney Plus the same day, the same time as the theatrical debut. Uh-huh. So her contract says she gets $20 million, mm-hmm. but she also gets these box office bonuses. Well, if people are at home watching it on the streaming service, they say that she could lose up to about $50 million. And she had kind of tried to address this because this is happening a lot with Disney. And they even sent an email to her back in 2019 saying, we understand. We're not going to change this. We're not going to breach the contract. If we decide to release it on Disney Plus simultaneously, we will have a discussion with you. And they didn't. So they think this is going to really set a precedent for other movie stars that, you know, negotiate a deal, want these bonuses, and then they usurp that by putting on the streaming service.
I see. So she wants the back end stuff, right? They pay you something in front, and then every ticket of everybody that goes to the movie theaters, they promote it in all the theaters, and she's losing that because of the streaming service. Well, that seems like they breached the contract.
Right. That's what the suit says,
yeah,
yes.
Good.
So I think so. So I think she's got a really good case.
Yeah, they could get one of those easy lawyers that they have in New York. Have you fallen down? Do you think you're going to fall down? Call me. Do you think at any time you might fall in the next 24 hours? Have you fallen before? Maybe you're falling now as you're reaching for the phone. Call me. Right, that guy?
Hey, will you? What was it? Hey, would you?
Sure.
You know, hey, Scarlett, would you?
Still hurts. Still hurts. Hey, would you?
Hey, would you? Scarlett, would you?
Hey, would you?
Would you?
Yeah. Your dad really only had one question for Fred Koch.
Yeah, I know. But he really worked on it. He crafted it, and he didn't have a backup.
Right. Yeah, what was the original question? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was something having to do with programs. Oh, I know it. It wasn't a question. It was a speech. I worked at IBM, and they called us in, and they said, listen, here's what we're spending right now. You've spent $7.5 trillion. You haven't moved the number, baby. I was like, oh, my God, because we heard it all the way home in the cab.
Wait, how did someone steal that question? It sounds very specific.
About spending
if it was that
more
personal,
money.
No, how did no, they
no.
Steal
the front
it?
End was the lead up. The question was basically, would you? No. The first guy's question was, would you? Which is pretty much wide open. It's in a softball one for the mayor. Yeah, I would. Why not? You love me. You like me still. it was about spending money and spending more money on programs. Oh, my God. Hi, yi, yi. All right. Tracy, take a look at traffic for us. How are we doing out there?
Over drinking, overthinking ever since you left. I've been gone.
I like Dierks Bentley short hair, not crazy perm hair that he had earlier. How many with me on that? Let's open the phone lines. This is, by the way, Watershed is a great concert. It takes place at the Gorge, Sherry. Oh. Mm-hmm. What was that?
Nobody's calling,
okay.
John. It was an extension
still,
on your
weird.
Dumb
line
joke.
Is still open. 1-888-973-5476. Who liked Dierks with curly hair? Is it just me? What? I had a chance to do country music, and I, as a DJ, and I kept thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the music. It's my favorite kind, but that kind of like, don't forget, quarter after the hour, we're going to be, you know, find about the grossest thing your husband does.
Listen, country music in the morning? Yeah, in the morning.
Oh, my God. But I love it. Watershed, huge concert. I know people like, they're listening to Tom and Curly Show while they're driving to 72 hours of country music, but they're really torn. So we're going to bump in with country music to satisfy both the listeners of Watershed and then, of course, the Tom and Curly Show.
Oh, so you mean Nicole and Brandy Cruz.
Moving on. Hey, by the way, you might have gotten a great deal flying here to Seattle to go to Watershed. Segway. And then all of a sudden, after you book it, then you get a message in your little email there telling you that there's a bit of a change, Sherry.
Yes. The takeaway from this Wall Street Journal article, I think, is very important.
Okay.
It says, you think you're buying a seat, but what you are buying is transportation from one place to another. And the airline has the right to switch flights and seats whenever it wants to. So don't think that when you book that seat that you're guaranteed that, because you're not. And that's what's happening with a lot of people. They booked when they knew the pandemic was going to start to end. They got these cheap tickets. And now the airline's saying, you know what? We could probably sell that for more money. So we're going to switch your seat and put you on a flight that has 8 connections and all of that stuff. And people are furious.
Wow. That was that weird Seinfeld episode where he goes to get the rental car and he's like, what don't you understand about a reservation? I mean, because he went 30, I have a reservation. And they're like, yeah, we don't have any cars. Yeah, but I had a reservation. This seems the same sort of thing. You book it, you pay, right? And then you get the acknowledgement that you paid. And you're like, okay, that's getting me my thing. And then they come back to you and they have rerouted you and put you on a different plane at a different time. And the price is different?
Well, they can change. No, they can't change the price on you. You've already bought the ticket.
Right.
But they have the right to say, instead of you getting into Seattle at 10 a.m., we're going to get you into Seattle at 5:30 because we're going to put you on this other flight that connects through another city.
Okay.
So it's, you know, just because you think you've got this one way or this nonstop ticket, they have the right to mess around with that if they want to. And apparently this is very big with Delta, so much so that the CEO actually sent a memo out saying that these challenges are temporary and to bear with the company.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people are saying that, you know, this one story was terrible. The guy said He wanted to speak with a representative. The representative called him back, or somebody called him back at like 3:45 in the morning. So it's like,
hey,
yeah.
The guy cares. He woke up at home, wasn't at work, and thought, I got to call that guy, and called him. I think that's commendable.
Customer service.
That is customer service. I would assume that the airlines, when they work all this stuff out, legally they're probably allowed to do this for a variety of reasons, right? The plane,
sure.
You could say the plane broke down or weather
right.
Or this. You have to have that. If not, people will be like, wait, I booked it for that date. I got to be on that date. So the suspicion is that they're doing this, canceling. It's the old bait and switch. You get you on and then move you over to another one. And then they take your seat that was available for you and sell it again somewhere else to somebody else. So they've got your seat going direct to Seattle or to New York or wherever, right?
Right, because they can make a lot more money, and they can use the blanket excuse of scheduling changes. In other words, they've had changes across the board, and you're just a victim of that, and what can you do about it, and how can you prove that they don't?
Is there anything we can do? I mean, should we go down there and protest or go to Edward Bastin's house? He is the CEO. He's also the guy that appears in the pre-flight thing on that Delta Airlines. He's like, hi, I'm Edward Bastin. Welcome to Delta. The Delta family cares about you. We want you to have a safe flight. We want you to know how important it is to us here at the Delta family that you are part of our family. I'm like, God. No,
that was a great rendition.
Yes.
With the exact amount of expression. I love it.
Thank you. All right, so there's nothing you can do other than the fact that just check it, and then I would go down. What I would do, I would go down to the airport, and this doesn't seem too aggressive, and I would wait and find the person that had my flight. So they canceled my seat, and I go down there and find the person that now has my seat, and I would just stand there and heckle them. Hey, have fun in 1A!
Well, one woman did threaten to sue, and then they gave her back her original itinerary. But, I mean, what sue on, based on what? I mean, I don't know. I can't believe that actually scared them, but I guess it did.
Hi, I'm Ed Bastin. Go ahead and sue. Okay. By the way, look out. Don't get mad on these flights because these flight attendants are now.
They are taking a defensive stance against a growing problem in the air.
By the way, every self-defense class gets down to one thing.
Flight attendants are training to hit, elbow, and gouge simulated aggressive passengers, with actual passengers getting more violent than ever.
You are going to possibly die. You need to defend yourself at all costs.
Undercover federal air marshals are guiding 8 flight attendants through this self-defense course, the first class offered by the TSA since training was paused by the pandemic.
It's sad that it needs to happen.
Flight attendant Carrie is taking this class, having just returned to her airline following a leave of absence.
Are you scared?
Sometimes, a little bit, yeah. You get on a plane full of people and some of them aren't very happy and you just never know what's going to happen.
A brawl breaking out on a Frontier Airlines flight is among the latest unruly passenger incidents that the FAA says are skyrocketing. Federal documents detail how passengers have shouted down, grabbed, and struck flight attendants thousands of times since the start of a zero-tolerance policy earlier this year. In May, a passenger punched a Southwest Airlines flight attendant, causing her to lose 2 of her teeth, according to her union.
DentalSpecialtiesNorthwest.com.
There's no backup at 30,000 feet. So that plane is in the air. That has a crew that has to deal with the issues. And it's incumbent on us to make sure they're fully equipped.
Federal officials say some passengers are fueled by alcohol, but most are fighting back over the federal transportation mask mandate, which make up...
Sounds like they're beating this guy up.
3/4 of all incidents reported just this year.
It's so bad out there.
Sarah Nelson of the Association of Flight Attendants says...
Okay, I'm done. Listen, here's all those classes. You ever take one of those self-defense classes, Sherry?
I took judo one time when I was in 8th grade, and I dislocated my elbow and never did it again.
Okay, so you took it just to learn how to dislocate your elbow?
Yes.
So you got your money's worth. Good.
Yep.
No, it is always like, you know, try this, try that. And then the last resort is you always knee him in the groin. That's the whole thing. The class could be over. You go in there. You don't have to put your coffee down. You got to just explain. Just knee him in the groin. That's the whole thing. Or you can tear a human ear off with less than 20 pounds of pressure. Or you can tear it off in less than 10 pounds of pressure. And poke him in the eye. But all that other stuff, the people cheering and yelling. They have to do this for legal purposes because... We taught them how to defend themselves. It's their fault their tooth came out.
Well, I mean, do you really think a flight attendant...
I'm Ed Bastin. I'm sorry your tooth came out. Perhaps she didn't do well. Self-defense class.
Do you really think their lives are in danger, though?
No.
I mean, he said you're fighting for your life. Over what? A can of Coke and you didn't put your trash in the bag they bring by?
Hey, Sherry.
Please.
Your attitude has got to change because we've got two more hours of this. Right, Tracy? Huh?
Right.
There
yeah, straight
is.
Up,
all
Sherry.
Right. Sherry, I'll I don't
shape
even want
up.
You on
all right, all right, all right.
All right. Tracy, what do you got? Deal Mortgage 1-888-7-7-8-K-I-E-L, the biggest and best in the business. Not the biggest, but the best, obviously. It's Laura Keelan, everybody there. Caring desperately about your mortgage, want to refinance, do it today, save yourself some money. Mortgage rates still low. 1-888-7-7-8-K-I-E-L. I found more of the flight attendant training. Here's the this is the more advanced class.
Away from your opponent. Look, sir, I really don't want anything of this. And I go like this, and I slit your throat. And it's over and out. Everybody underestimates the kick in the groin. Boom, that's the first thing to do. I follow up, bang, bang, bang. Right away after that, dang it, the dang it, the dang. See what I'm doing? Boom, that's the left elbow right there. I can also deliver, bang, headbutt out of nothing. Boom, turn it to favor. Ding dong, don't you looky, look what we got here. Smack his face, smack his face.
Into the
create
wall.
Distance and grab a chair. You can slam it into his face, you can stab with it, and while I throw it at him, I will kick him in the groin, boom, right straight. Gonna bounce his head on the table 10 times or something. Don't you ever do this.
There we go.
That was flight attendant Betty.
That's one. It's a guy teaching them, banging your head on the table. Sir, would you mind putting down your tray table while I bounce your head off it? Dong, ding, dong.
Kick in the groin.
That's Boss Rudin. He's the best. All right. So you have a sister that lives next to the Loch Ness Monster, and apparently people don't want the Loch Ness Monster to be discovered or not to exist.
Well, it's my sister-in-law, and she lives
really,
in...
really built sentence here. Let me punch myself in the head. Go ahead.
Dung, I'm going to kick you in the groin. So she lives in Inverness, Scotland, and we visited her a couple of years ago, and we went to see the Loch Ness Monster area and all of that, and it's its own little town. I think you've been there as well, John, right?
I did the story on the guy that apparently sits there every day with binoculars, which he doesn't sit there every day, but go ahead.
Right, but he's a tourist attraction like the rest of the town.
Yes.
And so before the pandemic, hotel rooms were going for like $250 a night. Mm-hmm. And they have all these monster hunting cruises and all of that. But what they're realizing is that I guess people aren't really buying the Loch Ness Monster thing anymore because they're doing DNA tests and the DNA comes back that it's a lot of eels and things like that.
Oh.
And the people that are defending it are saying, wait a minute, there's 20% of the DNA that was unidentified, so maybe that's it.
Wow.
But yes. Yeah, so
that accent you just did, I felt like I was there.
Uncanny.
See, you get that from your sister. They don't want to give that up. The other thing they've got going on in Scotland is the dog that sits next to the old man's grave.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah. That's another one that they, you know, hey, Craig, come on, you go on the grave and a dog is sitting there. And he says, oh, his master died 50 years ago. And it's like, really? And the dogs say, oh, all the time. So then I don't know how they figured it. I guess they know the bus is coming up with the tourists. And they let the dog go, and they must either chain it to the ground or I guess maybe they do something like this.
Right away you say, okay, I'm sorry. Bang, bang, bang. No, I'm not.
Not to a dog.
No,
you do it to a flight attendant. Don't do it to a dog.
No, to a tourist. To a tourist.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. All right. All right. Tracy Taylor, how are we doing Friday?
I sure hope he doesn't beat up on the pretty little lady in the pickle jar.
No. Oh, I think that's what's happening.